You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Well, hello there, everybody. We are on the eve of the UFC's return to the Apex in Las Vegas, following a memorable sold out wild crowd at UFC 261. That pay-per-view event was pretty fantastic. And tomorrow is a pretty well-matched card, a really good main event. But I think I'm being honest, and I'm not alone here. The hangover from 261 is real, my friend. So we're going to have to push through, because I think tomorrow night has the potential to be a lot of fun, as we welcome you to the UFC Vegas 25 preview show live on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. We're back to the live stream format. We went old school last week. We're back hanging out with all of you for the next 45 minutes or so. It'll probably be longer because that's what we do. So get your questions in, your thoughts, fights you're looking forward to in the comments section, wherever you are watching, and we'll get to them a little bit later on. I am Mike Heck. We've got the whole crew here, including Mr. Jose Youngs back from Jacksonville. We got the Prince of Positivity, Alex K. Lee, one of the worst judges in the history of Between the Links, according to Casey Lydon, our user. I didn't say it.
I was good until I heard that.
And on the ones and twos, the aforementioned Mr. E. Casey Lydon.
I didn't say one of the worst judges. I said the worst judge.
I was trying to soften the blow a little bit, Casey. Come on.
Hey, we're here for the truth. We're journalists. The truth. That's what matters. The worst judge.
It's all right. It was a production thing. There were curveballs thrown. We understand. But listen, there's a lot to discuss here with the peeps and with all of you. So let us begin with the main event. You get a big one at 205 pounds. The two-time UFC title challenger, Dominic Reyes, looks to get back on track. He's taken on an absolute wild man, a killer, the former Ryzen light heavyweight champion, Jiří Prochazka. Jose, this is a great fight, and sure, it's a little overshadowed by the fallout of UFC 261, but as far as main events go for a fight night, this is a really good one, is it not?
Yeah, it's pretty fantastic. I'm surprised they didn't try to put this card on like regular ESPN or ABC, because when you put Dominic Reyes and Jiří Prochazka inside the octagon, something wild is going to happen. Someone is probably going to be detached from their senses, or you're just going to get a craving of a fight. So to me, this just checked all the boxes for an ABC or ESPN cards, just to get more eyeballs on the product. I know we're going to talk about the co-main event, which absolutely rules too. Like, this main card is very, very good. And there's a lot of high action fights or possibilities for high action fights. I just wish more eyeballs were going to see it outside of ESPN2 and ESPN+.
AK, does this one check off the proverbial boxes for you, my friend?
I love it. It's already getting my on to the next one, matchmaking possibilities cooking. I mean, look, our first pitch of the year for Giga, right? Yes, that's right. He went 4-0. No, he didn't fight earlier this year, did he? This has already gone off the rails. No, okay. This is first.
AK, we are live, AK. I know.
Are we live? I thought we were. No, you got to edit that.
You can't treat this like you're judging and just. Just crap.
No, this is his first fight of 2021.
I didn't know that was live either. Yeah, his first fight. He went 4-0 in 2020. And he's getting a name guy, which he will demand. And it's great. And he got a finish in his last fight. He's really checking off like all the, you mentioned check on the boxes, like all the boxes you want for like a, I know we're going to talk about this fight more, but so that's so exciting. I mean, I hit this flying the radar. They've got this really high quality 35 Giga Cup Swans, in addition to all this other stuff that's happening in the main card. Everyone should be excited to see Sean Strickland again, Murad Balashvili. Man, there's just a lot. Loma Lukbunis on the prelims. I know we'll dig into it, but yeah, no, I'm definitely getting over the hangover from 261 and starting to feel the excitement, the pulse pick up a little bit about Saturday's card.
Casey, I know you're a big Jiří Prochazka guy. The UFC is not wasting any time putting him in a prime spot after that incredible debut on Fight Island in July against Volkan Ozdemir. What are your thoughts on the main event tomorrow night?
Oh, it's a terrific main event. This is actually kind of what fight nights are made for. I mean, I know Dana's not saying it, but to me, this should be, at least for, I would say both fighters, this should be number one contender fight. And I have no issue with the winner of this fight fighting the winner of Błachowicz versus Teixeira. And I absolutely like this card a lot. The main card is great. Good free card. Good free card.
All right. So back to you, Jose, because I've been thinking a lot about this probably since like Tuesday, with like the hangover starting to wear off a little bit. But we got Dominic Reyes, a guy who won his first 12 fights as a pro, got the fight with John Jones, took him to the limit in a fight that a lot of people thought he won. And you can tell there was a bit of, speaking of hangovers, a bit of a hangover for Dominic Reyes coming out of that fight. That took a lot out of him. Totally understandable. In fact, when Jones vacated the title to pursue his heavyweight aspirations, a lot of people already like anointed him as the uncrowned champion heading into the UFC 253 fight with Jan Błachowicz. He ends up getting stopped in the second round. So between the pressures of being the quote unquote uncrowned champion, putting everything he had into the Jones fight, yeah, we could see, you know, some of the things that he had to deal with. On the other side, we have Prochazka, who is definitely getting the promotional push, no doubt. A win will certainly make him next in line, as Casey alluded to, for the light heavyweight title following Błachowicz versus Glover Teixeira. So we have a guy who's on a two-fight skid that wants to get back to the title, taking on a former champion from another big organization that's knocking on the door of a title shot. So who has more to lose tomorrow night? Who has more at stake, Dominic Reyes or Jiří Prochazka?
Dom Reyes, for sure. I mean, three-fight losing streak. I mean, let's be honest, Dominic Reyes isn't going to be cut on a three-fight losing streak. He's clearly like top three light heavyweights in the world. But who do you have lost to? John Jones, greatest fighter of all time. Jan Błachowicz, current light heavyweight champion. And then Jiří Prochazka, which everyone seems to agree would be next in line if he wins. That would be, you know, former champ, and a former champ that never technically lost. Yes, we can talk about Dom Reyes beating John Jones all we want, but our opinions don't matter. The only opinions that matter are the judges. Dom Reyes didn't get the title that night. So lost to a champ that never technically lost his belt. Got knocked dead by a guy who has knocked out legitimate light heavyweights. Like we talked a lot about on the A side, about Jiří Prochazka and Dom Reyes getting a lot of finishes, but a lot of those were against middleweights that went up to light heavyweights. The same cannot be said for Jan Błachowicz. Yes, he fought Israel Adesanya last fight, and he was Israel Adesanya's first loss, and he fought him like a light heavyweight should, just kind of big brothered him. But outside of that, Jan Błachowicz is knocking out legitimate light heavyweights and some middleweights, of course, with Luke Rockhold, and then he fought Jacques Gray to a decision. But Dom Reyes has everything to lose in this fight. No one wants to be on a three-fight losing streak, especially against the elite of the division, because then you kind of have to reevaluate where you stand in your MMA career.
You agree with him, AK?
Yeah, it's definitely Dom Reyes, but I'll make the case for Jiří Prochazka just to say that what he has to lose from here is, for some reason, I keep thinking that win over Ozdemir was longer ago than it was. Like, oh, sorry, guys, one second. Was longer ago than it was.
Your landline.
No, listen. 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 Listen.
You have a landline. That's so cute.
Hey, listen. That's so cute. It could be an emergency, but you know what?
Do you need to answer it? Do you need to answer it? Do you want me to?
No. Okay. No. No, it's fine. No. We'll deal with it. We'll deal with it. So the case for Yuri is... Go to you know what? Let's go to Casey.
This is unbelievable. We're 9 minutes in. It's just gone off the rails. We'll go back to AK in a moment.
Oh, AK, I better not ever find AK's actual landline number because I'm going to keep calling him during the show. Just to annoy him. Sorry, right, we're talking about fights, right?
What's that now? So, guys, we're gonna edit that.
Yeah. No one will ever see that. Don't worry, AK. No,
okay, so hold on. I'll pick up.
Okay, in three.
So the thing
two.
With Yuri Prochazka is, you know, his win over Volkan Oezdemir, it was last July, but for some reason in my mind, good cut there, Casey. Good, no one knows. For some reason in my mind, it feels like this fight was like, I don't know why. I thought it was in like 2019, and that he didn't fight in 2020 because of because of COVID-19. But he debuted in 2020, and it was amazing. It was lived up to all the hype that everyone was talking about. Of course, from that he built up in Ryzen. He's finished his last eight opponents, I think, eight straight KOs. That's pretty damn good, the level that he's competing at. So I totally understand why it seems like he could stand to lose. But like I said, that Oezdemir win feels like a long time ago. So I do feel like if he loses here, he's going to lose a lot of that steam. It's such a what have you done for me lately business. And Jose kind of mentioned it too, that we know, fans know Reyes is one of the top three, top four light heavyweights in the world, no matter what happens on Saturday. Does Prochazka have that kind of currency yet? I don't know. Maybe among a certain segment of fans. It could be, again, if he loses, gets knocked out. It maybe how he loses, affects how we view this. But if he gets knocked out in the first round, second round, or something, and gets taken out, then it's like, okay, a lot of that steam is lost. I do agree with Jose. I do think it's Reyes has a lot more to lose. I mean, that a three-fight losing streak is be big. But it's not like Prochazka can just, can walk out of this one unscathed should things not go his way on Saturday. So, yeah, a lot on the line for both guys.
Casey, you're always intrigued by the betting lines. Who do you think is the favorite in this fight?
In the main event, I would assume Reyes, just because he's just a more well-known fighter in the UFC. Is that correct?
That is incorrect. Yuri Prochazka, the slight favorite. The last look, -130. Comeback on Dominic Reyes is around a +110. Some sites have it even closer to a pick 'em at this point, but I think -130 for Yuri, it seems pretty fair to me, Casey. I mean, I understand that, Reyes had two back-to-back title fights. I get that. He's coming off a knockout loss. So I'm not mad at the -130. What do you think?
-130 for Yuri, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's surprising, but, I think that's accurate. I'm picking Yuri. I mean, I know we talked about that later, but I'm picking Yuri. I'm pretty confident in that pick. I guess the hype train has been derailed for Reyes. Now, I guess we'll see if Reyes just had a bad night. I know maybe just underestimated Blachowicz, or maybe we all underestimated Blachowicz, I think. But I don't have too much to say about betting lines, but it sounds about right.
All right, since Casey made his pick, Jose, we'll have you make yours. Who do you got in this main event tomorrow night?
Dominic Reyes. I say that with no confidence. I think this is just an insane fight. I have no idea who's going to win. Someone's going to get knocked dead. I'll say that confidently. If they have five rounds to work, someone's going to bed. Jiří Prochazka has said that he's kind of cleaned up some of his lack of defense, as I would say. Like when he fought Volkan Oezdemir, his hands were down a lot and he was rushing forward looking for that finishing blow. Dom Reyes, you can't really do that. He's very, very accurate. We saw that with John Jones. We definitely saw that with Chris Weidman, where Chris Weidman gave him about half a second of an opening and Dom Reyes just unloaded on his face with his fist and then followed up with a back fist while Chris Weidman was on his back. So I picked Dominic Reyes, especially in five rounds. He's lost to the best of the best. Jiri is fantastic. I think he'll eventually fight for a title in the UFC. But right now, in 2020, I think Dominic Reyes gets it done on Saturday.
AK.
Yeah, I am such a believer in Reyes. I mean, I when I did a robbery review, I thought he beat John Jones. Close fight. I thought he beat John Jones. I certainly picked him to beat Jan Blachowicz. So I'm still going in that direction. I think he's going to beat Jiří Procházka. But again, at this point, I don't know if I'm picking him, again, just sort of based on one, the strength of the Jones performance, and two, you know, his work prior to that. I mean, Procházka, if you go based on his performances, I mean, you know, maybe CB Dolloway, Fabio Maldonado are not quite in the level of the guys that Reyes has been fighting, but knockout's a knockout. You know, the guy looks like he's on another level as far as finishing power goes, even at 205, and that's saying a lot. So I wish I could say I had more confidence than Jose in picking Reyes, but I'm almost in the same way where it's like, this is the pick. It makes sense to me, but you could easily talk me into, again, Procházka 45-second KO. I don't know. The guy is such a beast, but I'll go with my guns and say Reyes, second round finish via strikes.
This is one of the tougher fights to pick for a lot of different reasons, because Procházka is like super confident and kind of like Jose alluded to, he has taken this time to his advantage. Yeah, he's had to deal with some injuries along the way, but he's been spending the time improving and cleaning things up, like Jose sort of alluded to. And a loss for Procházka sucks. It stings, but it doesn't destroy him, especially in this division. Like, he could come back, fight another guy in the top five, top 10, get another win, and he's right back in the mix. May even get a title shot with that one win. On the other hand, this is a must win for Dominic Reyes. Like, he has to find a way to get it done, or he is going to have a very long road back. All things considered, this is a 50-50 fight. I feel like Reyes has the octagon experience. He has a lot of ways to win this fight. So for me, getting Reyes at dog money here from like a betting perspective in a fight that I think is pretty even, I would be willing to take a dog shot here, which is what I would do in this instance. I feel like Reyes knows a storm is coming. If he can get out of the first two rounds, which is a big ask against a crazy man like Jiří Procházka, I think he gets this thing done. But, you know, let's not forget, as AK and Jose alluded to, Reyes has some pop as well. So I think Reyes gets it done. He's seen the championship rounds. We don't know if it's going to get that far, but in my opinion, I think Reyes needs to extend this thing. I think he knows that as well. So I'm leaning towards the slight dog to get it done. I think maybe like a fourth round TKO, but it could be a decision. But I really, really love this fight. It could go a number of different ways, and I'm really looking forward to it. So
vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. Don't miss out as the NBA postseason winds down, and new customers to DraftKings can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Before we go to the peeps, I mean, Giga Chikadze versus Cub Swanson is such a good fight. I mean, this is like perfect matchmaking right here. You got Giga, he's been waiting for an opportunity to fight a name. He finally gets one, and just a wily vet in Cub Swanson who's coming off a tremendous win after a long layoff against Daniel Pineda. Jose, I mean, this is like, this is right up your alley. This is comic book stuff right here, this kind of a matchup.
Yeah, this is, I'm a really, really big fan of Giga Chikadze, like even back to his kickboxing days. However, I don't know if he beats Cub Swanson, because if you look at Giga Chikadze's record, he has not fought anyone remotely close to the top 15 of the UFC. And some of that's not his fault. He was fairly new to the UFC. Some of his opponents have fallen out. He fought, who was it, Irvin Rivera on short notice. He's fought a bunch of guys on short notice. So Cub Swanson, like, just look at his last few fights. Like, what, Daniel Pineda, Chrome Gracie, Burgos, Moicano, Frankie Edgar, Brian Ortega. Obviously, you got to throw Artem Lobov in there. Like, Duho Choi, which is one of the greatest fights I've ever seen in my life. It is very night and day, the level of competition these two gentlemen have fought in their MMA career. Yes, Giga Chikadze has fought some of the best in kickboxing. This isn't kickboxing. Cub Swanson is a savage, as Dana White would call individuals inside the octagon, but Cub Swanson is a monster. Like, he is never in a boring fight, even if he loses. I have a lot of questions about Giga Chikadze. I love this matchup. I think it's a perfect time for them to fight. Giga Chikadze's on a long win streak. Obviously went 4-0 in 2020. This is his first fight in 2021. Cub Swanson is trying to make another run at the title. If he wins, that would be 3-0. He seems to be this guy, like we talked about, well, a couple weeks ago, like, who are the best gatekeepers in the UFC, and a lot of us said, oh, Neil Magny, oh, Jim Miller, and I don't know if any of us said Cub Swanson. You get a lot of these prospects matched up with Cub Swanson to see if they can handle the pressure and the violence, and Cub Swanson either kicks them down violently or they tear through them. I'm very curious to see how this goes Saturday. I favor Cub Swanson based on the talent level these two individuals have fought, but Giga Chikadze also got his first stoppage win in the UFC last fight, and before that he had a couple decisions, two of which were split. Again, I favor Cub Swanson, but I'm a massive Giga Chikadze fan, and I think the future's bright. I just think Cub Swanson wins on Saturday.
AK, the line right now, Giga Chikadze, the favorite, minus 165, the comeback on Killer Cub Swanson, plus 155. Your thought on that line and the fight itself?
I think the line is reasonable. I think you're in that stage where people are viewing Giga as a legitimate, you know, future title challenger at 145 pounds. Cub Swanson's an elder statesman. You know, I think he's being positioned to as a stepping stone, you know, for Giga's name. But the thing with that is a couple of the fights that Jose mentioned. You know, Cub's been in this position before. Crone Gracie, I think, was someone who was they thought would make name off of Cub. And did not do it. Duho Choi definitely was on a run, and we thought, man, if he beats Cub, this is like what takes him up to the next level. And he was tested, and again, all time great fight that Cub definitively won. Guys, as we like to say in this business, one of my favorite sayings: this is a fight. This is a fight. And if someone wants to do a technical breakdown and go like, oh, well, Giga's better than Cub here and Giga's better than Cub here and the kickboxing and boxing and Muay Thai, whatever, all these aspects of striking, Giga's better. I probably agree with you. You can probably convince me. But Cub has, again, this is why he's the perfect match for Giga right now. He takes you, you know, you got to go to that other level of grittiness, of toughness, of being able to take damage, of being able to be in a brawl and exchange and overcome when things aren't going your way. He's done that throughout his whole career. We don't know if Giga can do that yet. Again, Giga, he's been in some competitive fights, but I don't feel like he's necessarily been in danger per se. And that's what Cub Swanson puts you in when you're in the cage with him. And again, watch the Duho Choi fight, watch the Crone Gracie fight, watch like when it gets to the later rounds, where Cub is at and where his sort of less experienced opponents are. And you'll see what I'm talking about when there's another level. I mean, it's so obvious. So I am leaning towards Cub. I think the line is fair, but I am leaning towards Cub. I think he's going to take this kid to deep waters. And nothing wrong with Giga. He loses. You know, this is a learning experience for him, I think. So I think Swanson gets the decision.
What do you think, Casey? Are you going with the highly touted up-and-comer, or are you going with the wily veteran, Cub Swanson?
I am going big time with the wily veteran, Cub Swanson. I just think he's a better mixed martial artist. I think he's a better fighter. Giga's a great kickboxer. But in MMA, I just haven't been blown away by him. I think he's an exciting fighter. I like watching him fight. I like watching his kickboxing. But his MMA is just, I mean, it's okay. I get the kind of hype around him. But I just think Cub's focused. Cub's got it. And I mean, you're talking about, you know, and Cub's, I think we're talking about this gatekeeper role. And I'm pretty confident in saying that Cub Swanson's probably the best UFC fighter ever to never actually fight for a UFC title. That's had like more than like two fights or something. He's just, maybe Musasi, him and Musasi, like they never fought for a UFC title. But Cub's just that freaking good. And I don't think he's way past his prime at all. And I think that experience will really show up on a Saturday night.
I guess I'm on an island here. Cub is a dog, and this is going to be a gritty fight. Giga's going to have to get into that place. But I think from a stylistic perspective, I think this favors Giga in a big way. Like, he's so good on the outside. And let's not forget, like, Cub Swanson's knockout win over Daniel Pineda was super fun. It was impressive, and it was a great story. But let's not forget two things. One, Daniel Pineda was not in tremendous shape for that fight. He looked a little overweight, looked a little out of shape, and he was lighting Cub up with those leg kicks, forced him to switch stances. Cub landed a big shot at the end of the first round, which changed the tide. He was able to put Pineda away, who was definitely did not have his wits to him heading into the second round. It was a tremendous performance. I'm not taking anything away from Cub Swanson, but unless Cub Swanson has like vastly improved his wrestling and can take this fight to the ground and make Giga work off of his back, I just don't see a world where Giga just doesn't just pick him apart for 15 minutes. I just don't see it. Like the Jamie Simmons win, the knock, the finish there. Yeah, short notice, you know, do what you got to do. Short notice fight, short notice opponent, get it done. You got to finish. The Omar Morales fight, he looked phenomenal in that fight. And Morales is unbeaten, undefeated, another highly touted prospect on the way up. And Giga looked tremendous in that entire fight. So I feel like Cub's going to give him a really stiff test, but I think Giga gets it done, man. I don't know if he stops Cub, but I think the leg kicks are going to add up. I think Pineda did some things that I think Giga will be able to capitalize on. It's just a cardio issue down the stretch. Like, can Giga Chikadze keep this pace up for 15 minutes and just avoid that big bomb from Cub Swanson? That's the big question. I thought Chikadze's gas tank looked pretty good in the Omar Morales fight. He wasn't really huffing and puffing in the third round. So I lean Giga to get it done, but man, Cub's going to be in his face. He's going to give him some hell, but a really good co-main event. This is a perfectly match made fight. And I'm very excited for it. And AK is shaking
Mike,
his head.
Mike, do you think
that prediction, That's the prediction of a man who hasn't had three amateur fights. I'll tell you that right now. That's the prediction of a clickbait artist, classic clickbait artist, my good friend Mike Heck. I expected nothing more. I expected nothing more from you. Otherwise, we're all here. Hashtag Team Cub.
Cub's gonna have to work, man. It's gonna have to work. It's gonna have to get inside. That's not gonna be easy to do.
So do you think Giga eventually is like a top 10 featherweight, top 5 featherweight? Is that what you see him as? Because those are the only people who have beaten Cub Swanson.
He has definitely the potential to be. He's got a very high ceiling, no doubt about that. He's only going to get better too. That's the thing. But I just think Cub's going to have a hard time getting inside. His legs are going to get chewed up for a lot of this fight. And I don't think he's going to make a lot of the same mistakes that Pineda made.
I feel like if you just replace the words Giga Chikadze and Kevin Holland and Derek Brunson and Cub Swanson, this is just the same thing you said for that fight. And we saw how that played out. Giga's awesome. I just think Cub's better right now in 2021.
Listen, if Cub calls and takes him down and makes him work off his back, the whole fight, he'll win. Like, it's a fight he'll win. I don't see that side from Cub. When was the last time we've seen him like shoot for takedowns? He's going to stand there and trade with him. And that's a dangerous proposition for him. It's going to be a great fight. I don't think Gi is going to blow the doors off him, but I think Cub's going to have to work pretty hard to get inside and land the shots that he typically has success with. Giga's not going to let him get inside very easily. And he's so good from the outside. I don't know. It's a good fight. If this is a striking match, I just don't know if Cub can win that one, but we'll see. I don't think he gets stopped. I think it's a closer fight. I think Giga wins the first two rounds pretty convincingly. And that third round is going to be interesting. That's how I see it. I could be wrong. And if I am, I'm sorry, Cub. I'll come on the show and apologize to you. All right. I'm not taking any amateur fights. I don't feel like clickbait. So, I will say my piece. That is my opinion. I'm sticking to it. So that's a great fight. We had some drama on the scales or after the weigh-ins. Iwan Kutalaba and Dustin Jacoby got into it. That fight's going to be ridiculous anyways. And now there's a little more heat to that one. I'm waiting for the Sean Shelby interview to drop where he says that's Dana White's fault for letting that happen. We'll see.
Kutalaba's a savage.
Yeah, I mean,
he's a savage.
He's a savage. And then we get Sean Strickland, Christoph Jocko is a fun one at 185. We got Cody Stamann and Marab Dawalish Willie. That's fun. And then the main card opens at 10 p.m. Eastern, AK. Six fight main card opens at 10 p.m. Eastern with Pollyanna Botelho versus Luana Carolina. So there you go. Let's get to the peeps, Casey, and see. What they're looking forward to tomorrow night.
All right.
Peace, we've talked for 27 minutes. We've had landlines go off. I mean, we've had it all. Let's turn it over to them.
And again.
Is Reyes being underappreciated by the betting market? He lost to Jan and beat John. Yes, we all know he beat John, and now he's an underdog against Yuritha. So we kind of touched on this earlier. I feel like the line is properly placed. It's not like Yuri's a 2-1 favorite here. He's barely a favorite. Like last I looked, it was -130. Some lines have it like a -110, -115. So it's essentially a pick 'em. So I don't know if there's a lot of underappreciation here from a betting perspective, but let's just kind of like broaden this question, Jose. Do you feel like after the two losses, there's an underappreciation factor to how people look at Dominic Reyes?
It's just a recency bias, and that's just how MMA always is. You get knocked dead in your last fight by the current champ, and you don't pull off the victory over the greatest fighter of all time. People are just going to assume that you're chinny, and you're going to get knocked out again. And I mean, Jiri's only had one fight in the UFC. It was a knockout. Before that, he kind of decapitated CB Dolloway over in Ryzen. So it's just recency bias. I don't think it has anything to do with underappreciation by the betting market. It's just, I would imagine Dom Reyes was a favorite against Jan, and that didn't work out for him. So I bet a lot of money's coming in on Jiri right now, just based on the last few performances. So just recency bias. It's an MMA. But that's how I feel like we talk about this every week. As soon as someone just has an insane performance, they're all of a sudden a favorite in the next fight. Like we saw Valentina's last fight against Jennifer Maia was a lot closer than people thought. Yes, she dominated, but there were moments in there where Jennifer Maia looked good. And the Jessica Andrade did like just ran through Count Chukagian. And that was the closest margin that Valentina has had as a champ. And we saw what happened. So just recency bias. I don't think it's underappreciated type thing.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. I don't know if I think people just want to see Dominic win a fight. And they'll, if he wins on Saturday, people look at him differently.
I don't think it's that he lost to Jan. I think it's that he just got obliterated by Jan. From my memory, it kind of from the first couple of minutes that fight was pretty one-sided. It didn't seem like, I mean, maybe Reyes just had a horrible night. It's Reyes.
He did.
Yeah. He did definitely a bad night, but,
he had a bad week.
Is Reyes, if he takes a loss tomorrow night, is he basically in kind of Volkan Ozdemir territory where like just came out so hot and, oh my God, Volkan, you just can't stop it. And now, you know, we just kind of see Volkan as kind of a mid-tier 205er now. Is Reyes just as a flash in the pan if he loses tomorrow night?
It would be like Thiago Santos, where he has a really close fight with John Jones and then he loses two in a row. And then, or same thing with Anthony Smith.
Badly too, yeah.
He loses, like Anthony Smith has that close fight with John. Yes, he beat Gustafson, but then he loses badly a bunch of times. And then now he's back on the win streak. Glover too. Remember Glover lost to like Phil Davis and a few other those guys. after fighting John Jones, and now he's got a title shot. So same. I feel like this has been a trend in the light heavyweight
division. I don't remember Glover getting like just wiped, totally blown out of the water in his following fights.
Rumble Johnson kind of.
Well, that's Rumble. That's Rumble.
Phil Davis drowned him. Drowned him bad, and then Gustafson knocked him dead with those uppercuts.
Oh, with the eye pokes. I remember that. Yeah. That was the eye poke fight. Was that fight?
Yeah. I thought that was the John Jones fight.
It's all of them.
Yeah. But Glover lost. Like, there was a time when Glover was going like back and forth, like win, knocked out, win, knocked out, win, knocked out. Now he's fighting for a title. So light heavyweight. I feel like that just has been a trend to light heavyweight.
All right. What do you think, AK? Any underappreciation that you see for Mr. Reyes?
I'll just go further and say I don't know if it's necessarily recency bias, because Reyes is on Prochazka is on a pretty good win streak. Yeah. 11 straight, 9 straight knockouts. So it's kind of interesting that that the odds makers are putting so much weight on stuff that happens outside the UFC. I don't know how common that is. I'd have to probably look at trends and study the trends, which I'm not going to do because I'm lazy. But and he was fighting UFC competition outside of the UFC, which helps. You know, people know who like a CB Dollo is, people know who King Mo is, you know. So it's not like he's just been fighting in Japan or fighting, you know, for another organization overseas and beating nobodies. He's beating people that people have heard of. He has a Wikipedia entry, you know, that always helps. So I don't know if I agree with the premise of the question per se, because I do think there's a lot of reasons why Yuri is favored. One, as mentioned, recency bias. Two, if people dig even a little bit deeper, they can say, well, 11 straight wins, 2 straight losses. There you go.
All right. And let's not forget, too, Yuri Prochazka has a stoppage win over the current Bellator light heavyweight champion, Vadim Nemkov. So that's a good damn name to have on your resume, too. So Yuri didn't fight slouches for Ryzen. He fought some heavy hitters.
Wasn't that Vadim like doing the towel, too? Like, that wasn't even a regular TKO. Like, that was like a retirement TKO, right? Like, he quit.
Like, I'm getting beat up. This is not good.
That was also one of those, like, one night tournament, right? So it was like
one of the Grand Prix,
Yeah, it was like a 10-minute first round. So, yeah. Wild. Who did you lose to in the finals? King Mo?
Yeah,
he lost to King Mo, and then beat him later. Four years later.
You know, I don't even...
That was the last loss.
Yeah, I don't even put that much weight into the Yuri Nemkov first fight, because that was at least six years ago.
But still,
yeah.
I mean,
but still, this is just saying, like, to AK's point, that he wasn't like, we see a lot of these guys on the regional scene that come over and they did really well in, you know, whatever organization they competed in, then they come to the UFC and it's just like, oh, maybe their record was padded. And I'm not saying that that's the case for everybody, but there are some people who look at that. But Yuri is one of the cases where he's fought legit competition along the way. So
and what's even, Ryzen is not the regional scene.
No,
what's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, wild, yeah. If you're not, what's the UFC,
even more
you're
wild
regional,
to look at. You have to go back 5 years for his last non-knockout win. He said only knockout win since 2017.
The part that I do think is kind of the kind of X factor is, can Reyes slow the fight down? And well, I think what you said, Mike, if Reyes can stretch it into the championship rounds, because the one thing about Yuri, though, he's been, and that's why I favor him in this fight, and maybe that's actually something that I can hold against him, is that he hasn't been in wars recently. He's just kind of just blown through opponents. Even Volkan, like when we kind of go, oh, well, you know, he didn't look too good against Volkan until he knocked him out. It's because he was actually just too wild and too aggressive. But he never got like hurt in that fight. You know, he just maybe got touched up a little bit. But if Reyes can really slow the fight down and kind of make Yuri get their gas takes like under 50% and kind of fight tired. How good is Yuri as a tired fighter versus Reyes as a kind of a tired fighter? Because cardio is a weapon in the sport, and I will assume that Reyes has the better cardio. And so from the experience of fighting championship rounds and how we saw him fighting against John Jones. So, he did get kind of tired. He lost the last rounds against John Jones too, toward the end. So heck, I don't know, but I do think Reyes tiring out Yuri is his best path to victory.
Sure. Thank you, Seahawks fan 91.
Yeah.
sure he watched the draft yesterday and the Patriots drafted a quarterback, which I cannot believe they did. They actually did the right thing.
Oracle.
Could the winner of Reyes versus Jiří be asked to be on standby for the title fight at UFC 266? Will be hard to match the winner up knowing that Jan versus Glover is at UFC 266. So, I mean, I would say it's a strong possibility, especially with that fight coming up in September. It's plenty of time to be ready for it. So, yeah, yep. I can see
that. There's also a lot that could happen between now and September.
That's
right. Yeah.
Oh, that fight's that fight's in September now? Is that booked? Is that official?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of things can happen until then.
Yeah. UFC 260. We're not, Joseph Bowser, we're not taking UFC 266 questions. Come on. That's a lifetime away.
I didn't realize it was September. I was thinking like it was like a month and a half away or so. It was September. Why'd I put that question up?
It's like a whole school year away.
Yeah, I know. It's like September.
Thank you, Joseph.
Better question from Joseph. How about this?
What's the sleeper fight or favorite fight that isn't getting much attention? Mine is Randa Markos versus Luana Hirschio. Randa's fighting for her UFC job, literally. All right, it's low key time. What do we got? AK, we'll start with you. Low key banger, not getting enough attention.
Luana Pinheiro. First of all, Joseph, that's not your fault. He spelled it like that. Looks more like Chris Jericho than Chris Luana Pinheiro. Yeah. Ronda Marquez versus Chris Jericho would be an amazing fight.
Le Champion.
Man, there's a lot of good ones on here. But the one I think would be like competitive as opposed to a showcase fight, I'm kind of looking at, I mean, this seems obvious, I guess, but Kai Kamaka, TJ Brown. I mean, Kamaka, very exciting young featherweight. You know, he's got that classic Hawaiian guy. He wants to come out and put on an exciting fight and brawl, and he's got a good dance partner in TJ Brown. So, yeah, I think easy pick from the prelims, which again, overall, I think are pretty solid. I don't see any fights on there that are. I mean, I guess I would rarely say this about any UFC fight, but you know, sometimes there's cards where you can point to like one or two fights where you're like, yeah, it's, you know, this isn't super compelling. But I think, like we said, this whole card, not just the prelims, but the main card, has kind of been well booked. Whether you're talking about even matchups or fights that, you know, matching up exciting fighters or, you know, quote unquote litmus test fights, it's a pretty well balanced card. But yeah, if I have one like Kamaka and TJ Brown from the prelims.
Casey.
My fave fight. I mean, I'm a big fan of Loma. So I'm just excited her come out and Sam Hughes now has her first fight was short notice, right?
Very short notice.
Yeah, she had that weird eye thing and DC kind of crapped on her during the fight or whatever. I remember that. But I'm a big fan of Loma, so I'm always excited to see her fight and see her continued improvements as an MMA fighter, not just a Muay Thai fighter. But I think the low-key banger, and I don't know if we can count this because both guys are, I think they're top 10, is Merab versus Cody Stamann. I just think two grindy brick men fighting won't be able to take each other down, so we're going to see a really sloppy kickboxing match, and I love those. So that's my low-key banger. That's what I'm hoping for.
That you know, in my opinion, I think that counts as a low key banger because there are people that like forgot this is even on the card. Like it's getting no attention at all, and it's one of the more fascinating fights.
Yeah, it's just the third time it's been booked. Like when I knew it was coming, but I felt like didn't they just fight? But they had been booked twice before, and both men had pulled out. Right, it wasn't just one guy. Like was it Stamann the first and Mirab the second, or vice versa?
Yeah, Stamann had a back injury. He just needed the fight to get pushed back like 2 weeks, and Merab didn't do it. And then Merab had like a gnarly bout with COVID for the second fight, so he was out. So
So in my mind, this fight already happened. I mean, those are all good ones. The Strickland-Jocko fight is really interesting to me just because of what happened at UFC 261 with Brendan Allen. I asked him after the fight, and he was like, man, you didn't have to waste your breath asking me that question. I think that's how we phrased it. Like, he really wants to rematch Sean Strickland, but if Sean Strickland loses to Jocko, Brendan Allen really wants to fight Christoph Jocko. So anytime a fighter is very definite on who they want to fight next, it's great for YouTube headlines. And then Sean Strickland at his media day basically called Brendan Allen a douchebag and he's not going to rematch him unless for a title, which just threw more gasoline on the fire, which makes you want to watch that fight run back again because Brendan Allen is a fantastic fighter and one of the real bright prospects in middleweight. And Sean Strickland just won that night. And I think Brendan Allen's phrasing was, yeah, I see you, Casey. Allen's phrasing was, you win nine times, he wins nine times, you lose once. I'm about that fight. I'm also a really big fan of Dustin Jacoby from his glory days and his MMA days. I think Ian Kutalaba is rude. And I don't know why he does what he, why he always does what he does. Like
savage, like, down, savage is the word you're looking for. Savage, not rude.
No,
savage.
I'm not a. I'm not a doofy white. No, I'm not a doofy white bald man who uses bad words like savage. It's rude. He is rude. He did the same thing. What was it when he on that weird fight where he pretended he was hurt and then got fight? Who did he fight?
Ankalaev.
Yeah, Ankalaev. Remember he like walked across the cage and like grabbed him during
embarrassing.
Like, stop.
Yeah.
Rude.
Okay. Rude.
Rules. No, rules. It's rude. Nope.
You're mispronouncing
Casey. I understand it. You wear sleeveless shirts and you listen to your punk rock. It's rude. It's very rude. You're going to fight tomorrow. Like, also, did you see what he did? He like grabbed him around the neck. Like, stop.
Yeah. What
like,
is you that?
Push,
what is that?
You want to push.
He's preventing whiplash.
Hold on. I see.
Preventing whiplash.
He's protecting him.
No,
stop it. No, it's rude. Don't grab someone around the neck when you're going to fight him the next day. It's just rude. So I'm very excited for that. Casey, and then I'm excited for Luke Sanders' return. Kick off the card.
Casey, can you throw up John's question, thoughts on Kutalaba, Salt and Jacoby, the stare down, so we can talk about this a little more?
Are we going to that right now?
Yeah, we can go to that now. I'll just make my pick real quick.
I don't see why not.
Jonathan Pierce versus Mowgli Benitez will be a lot of fun.
That's going to be a banger too.
That'll be
good. Oh, I hated the weight miss.
Hey, this is Scott Galloway, author, professor, entrepreneur, and most importantly, host of the Prop G podcast. We got a special series running on right now called The Future of Work, where I answer all your questions on, surprise, the future of work. Questions including, what are we missing when we work remotely? Or how do we handle work-life balance when a major opportunity comes knocking? From the provocative to the technical, we're offering insights you won't want to miss. So tune in to The Future of Work, a Prop G Pod special sponsored by Canva. You can find it on the Prop G Pod wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, we're going with Joseph Bosen. I wanted to give John some screen time, but sorry, John. Oh. No, don't worry about it. We don't care about him. It's fine.
Is Dana a hypocrite if we lose Jacoby Kutalaba? First of all, I don't think we're going to lose that fight. And if and Dustin Jacoby pretty much told me what I interviewed him, like he knows something insane is going to happen at the face off. Like he was prepared for it. So I don't think any of that surprised him at all. I don't know if he expected to get like wrapped around the neck like that, but pushed him off like he was ready for it. So it was, I don't know.
Casey, what was he going for? What was he trying to set up? Is he trying to set up a clinch? Was he trying to grab the back of the neck?
Because he didn't. Because if you shove someone, especially when they're dehydrated, their head goes down hard and you get whiplash. Correct. We have learned this. So
okay,
Kutalaba is a gentleman and he grabbed the neck. So it just it's like no chance of whiplash for you, my friend. Not today. I am a gentleman and not rude.
What was he going to pull him in and just talk some more trash or something? Yeah. Like what?
Yeah,
what
was I hope we have a good fight.
So you're thinking. So you're saying because Jacoby then shoved him. So Jacoby was way out of line. Jacoby's the one who's jeopardized this whole operation.
Yeah. Maybe it was Jacoby that was the savage. And where's Dana White in the situation? Where's Dana White?
A savage.
Where's Dana White?
The only reason.
Yeah, the security team ready to go.
Thank goodness. He clearly wasn't ready because Sean mentioned, do you think this is karma for and also as Joseph kind of mentioned here, Sean Shelby being thrown under the bus in this situation. For anyone who didn't see that, Dana was asked about it and said, I don't know, you know, Sean's got to be quicker on that. Something to that effect. And Dana was super slow as Kutalaba clearly approached Jacoby. So I think there's a chance that Sean Shelby told him to do that. If we want to go down the rabbit hole here, I don't believe in karma because I don't believe in karma or jinxes or whatever superstitions. So there has to be a reason why this happened. I think Shelby said, "I got future matchups for you, buddy. But let me tell you something. You just play a little. We got a little joke. Got a little joke for our buddy Dana here. And it also goes with Casey's theory why he didn't do a shove." And why he went for like just a grab instead, just to kind of send Dana a message, and it kind of went out of control. So very strange and stupid scene. Man, what's wrong with you on?
I think I don't know. I think Jose, Jose said he's rude. So there you go. He's just a rude.
Who's ruder? Is he ruder than Jeremy Stevens? I would say Jeremy Stevens is much more rude. Who's the rudest?
Who's more savage, Kate? Who's more savage, Casey? Savage. Who's more savage? Jeremy Stevens.
Yeah, with Jeremy Stevens, yeah, definitely.
Oh, man. Yuan loses.
This is what Yuan does.
Yuan loses.
Yeah, probably.
He gets cut.
Why? Why?
Because he's lost three of four.
Yeah. Jeremy Stevens has the most losses ever in the UFC. And like no one, like there's no chance. Casey. Oh, yeah. My God, savage. That's the word.
He's a savage, though.
This is just, what are we doing?
I don't know. It's 205, so he might not.
Yeah. Kudalov is not getting cut.
Is it do or die for Ana Marcos? It has to be, right? Oh,
isn't she
this
already?
This is like the most do or die situation we've seen in a long time. Like, there's no way she can, there's no way they can keep her after if she loses again tomorrow, right? Like, you thought she was done, AK? We talked about this on to the next one. You thought she was done after the last fight and they brought her back.
Did I say that?
You did. You thought it was cold hearted. Yeah, you thought it was crazy for booking her. Yeah, I will. You thought it was crazy for trying to book her into another fight. But it's do or die, right?
She, her last fight was on short notice. So, she did them a favor by stepping on short notice. I should have known that they would give her another shot. But yeah, no, this is a easy question to answer. Yes. I don't know if you guys have any other thoughts how she could, outside of how she could lose and still keep her spot in the roster.
She'll be under 500. Her last three losses were dominant losses. Before that, she split decision with Yoder. And a dominating loss against Claudia Gadelha. Yeah, I mean, I'm good for Randa staying in the UFC, but I'm shocked. But here we are.
Nah, she ain't getting anything easy. That's for damn sure.
Are there any under 500? Are there any under 500 fighters record wise in the UFC?
Jeremy Stevens.
He's lost.
Is he at 500?
No, I think he had plenty of
Let me check that up real quick.
Jeremy Stevens is under
500. Tim Elliott would be another one.
Wait, their records are actually under 500?
Are we talking about total record?
No, total record. Talking
career record.
Okay.
Total record.
Right.
There's a lot of fighters with under 500 in the UFC.
Yeah. So yeah, because Randa came into the UFC at 4-1.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She was part of the inaugural class.
Yep.
She had a crazy run of losses. Alternating wins and losses where you could set your watch to whether she was going to win or lose based on how her last bout went. But no, now she's hit that rough patch. Yeah, this will be forced losses. She's had a run. She's had a good run with the UFC. I'm sure we'll see her fight somewhere else. But yeah, it is do or die. It is due time.
All right.
Yeah. Pinheiro's UFC debut. It's an interesting fight. I've been looking forward to seeing Pinheiro get in there. So that should be fun.
I don't know very much about Pinheiro.
She had a really good, she had a first round finish on the Contender Series. Brazilian fighter. She's got 6 wins in a row. She's good, man.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember who she beat on the Contender Series. I got to look that up.
Zoila Frausto's sister.
Yep.
Zoila Frausto's sister.
Yeah, she's been and brave. Oh, she's got nothing but finishes.
She beat Stephanie Frausto. Okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. From Facebook.
I see Strickland dominating Jocko. What do you think? I will say this, okay? Because I have a feeling we may get this question at some point. Like, if we're talking betting perspective, like, who's a live underdog? I think Krzysztof Jocko is a very live underdog in this fight. He's a plus 245 underdog in this fight.
That's insane.
And I'm not taking, yeah.
That is insane.
The line, and that's the biggest reason why I think Jocko is a live dog. Cause that line seems a little outrageous to me. Like John Strickland should be the favorite in this fight, but like nearly a 3-1 favorite. That's a little crazy.
A 3-fight winning streak in the UFC too. Not even just like a guy coming off a loss. Jocko's on a 3-fight winning streak, and he's still a giant, giant underdog.
Yeah, and Krzysztof Jocko can strike, man. He can bang. His footwork is really good. the problem, like the one thing he's going to have to deal with is Sean Strickland just pushes forward and throws a ton of volume. So for Christoph Jocko to win this fight, it's going to have to, unfortunately, like, not be the most aesthetically pleasing middleweight fight of all time. He's going to have to slow things down, maybe put him up against the fence and just slow down the action as much as possible, because he doesn't want to get into a volume striking battle with Sean Strickland, because he won't win that. But Jocko's very good at slowing guys down. Like, look at what happened in the Eric Anders fight. Eric Anders, the guy that just comes after you and looks to take your head off. And Jocko is able to slow him down and slowly wear him down throughout the course of that fight. So Jocko's good, man. He's got that confidence, got a little bit of swagger on him. Strickland obviously is in a really good place since coming back. It's a really good fight. I think that betting line is outrageous. Outrageous.
How do I?
That's a weird one. That's shocking.
Strickland's all his last two fights were middleweight. Before that, it was pretty much all welterweight, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's lost what? To Dos Santos and Usman, and that's about it. Oh, Ponzinibbio, maybe, if I remember correctly. And then other than that, like, he's been cooking people. Like, he smoked up. Oh, well, he didn't smoke. That was like a kind of a boring fight against Tom Breeze, if I remember correctly. But that Eric Anders Jocko fight was weird, because Eric Anders' coach, I remember because I was in Jacksonville, so I could hear everything he was saying. Eric Anders' corner did not do him any favors. Like, that was like,
no.
They were telling him things like, oh, just get up. And I'm like, okay, if it's that easy. Like, Eric Anders' corner, that was the Walt Harris corner, like that fight card too, I think, if I remember correctly. So they both have the same coach, and neither really did their fighters any favors. But yeah. Jocko, what? Didn't Jocko have like a 5-fight win streak at one point in the UFC? Then he lost like a really close fight to David Branch. And like, it was that was David Branch's like first fight back after his World Series of Fighting run.
Yeah, I mean, he trying to go back and, okay, so he won his first five. He lost his second fight. Then he won five in a row, and then he lost the split to Branch, and he got knocked out twice. He got knocked up by Uriah Hall. And by the way, the Uriah Hall knockout, Jocko was looking real good in that fight. He was piecing really good. Uriah Hall up until he got.
If anyone
out.
Wants a really good like headline or social clip or YouTube stuff, just ask Christoph Jocko about Uriah Hall, and he'll just talk for about 10 minutes. Because he wants that fight bad. He wants that rematch bad.
Yeah, and then Brad Tavares finished him too. But after that, he's won. He hasn't lost since then.
Yeah. Topology, that was 88% picking Strickland. So that's almost worse than almost heavier than +200, +240. 61% saying Strickland by KO. KO, TKO.
Wow. I'm picking Strickland to win.
Loss. If he had won, he would have fought Adesanya, because Tavares won and then fought Adesanya. They were all on that Glendale, Arizona card, right? And then no one saw the Uriah Hall knockout because it was the same day as Canelo Triple G. So no one even knows that happened.
That's right. I'm leaning Strickland, but this is a close fight.
Sorry, Mike. We have a couple of commenters coming in. It's one commenter. We'll call this Alex Weber. We'll call him Smart Alex, because I'm certainly not. Says Sarah Morris was 6-7 when she got cut. So she was briefly below 500 overall before getting cut. And Rachel Ostovich, he says, was 4-6 when she got cut. And she was actually 4-5 going into her last fight. So she actually got a fight as an under 500 fighter. So thank you, Alex Weber. So a couple of the women's fighters. Dropping below that 500 mark, and technically still employed by the UFC, but both recently cut.
And I'm picking Jocko by heel hook on Strickland, solely because Strickland said that heel hooks are the coward's way out.
Strickland was also the one.
I was like, what? Tearing off someone's ankle is a coward way out? Are you crazy, man? Just fight,
Strickland
bro.
Also, remember after he beat Brandon Allen, had that real awkward interview with Bisping, where he's like, hey, Bisping, we're 1-0 against you, dating back to 1776. And Bisping was like, yeah, all right, guy. And then he just continued on with his interview.
Oh, I like this fight, though. I really like this fight. It's a good one.
It's a fight.
It is a fight. That cannot be denied.
Certainly a fight.
Cannot be denied. Yeah. All right. I won't hear otherwise.
All right. We'll take a couple more. Yeah. We had a couple of hiccups. Luana Carolino is 128.5 for her fight with Pauliano Botelho. Gabriel Benitez is 150.5 for his fight with Jonathan Pierce. Thoughts? Sapin.
It sucks. It sucks.
Yeah, it's rough.
I'm more concerned about Benitez because he was coming down. You know, he took a couple of fights at 155, which I thought was a good move for him. I was like, okay, yeah. Like, and he went 1-1. It's not like he looked bad at 155. I guess if he feels, I understand he probably did it because, you know, it was during the pandemic. So he just didn't want to cut the weight. But I had kind of hoped he would just stay up there. So it raised my eyebrow a little bit when he was going back down. I didn't think he would necessarily miss by this much. So this is a really bad sign. Again, I'm sure we'll hear the story after. There could be an illness involved. There could be an injury. There's a lot of reasons guys miss weight. You know, I don't like to judge right away and say it was like negligence or bad dieting, whatever you want to, you know, whatever reasons you want to slam a fighter for missing weight. But it's a really bad look, 4.5 pounds over the non-title fight limit. So that sucks. And we mentioned before, this is one of the fights we're definitely looking forward to. It just kind of, it's unfortunate it's happening at a catch weight as opposed to an actual featherweight fight.
Does that change your pick for either of those fights?
I don't think I have a pick for that fight. Oh, for either of those fights? No, I would go Battaglio anyway. Weightless or not. Mm-hmm. But no, and I'm still going Pierce. I'm going Pierce over Benitez as well. So.
I didn't see the Benitez weigh-in. Did he weigh in at the beginning of the weigh-in or toward the end? If he weighed in early, then I still favor him. If he came at the 2-hour mark and still came in 5 pounds over or whatever, then he's definitely losing.
Came in super early.
He did
just came in early.
He played the game then. He's playing the game then. Yeah, he's playing the game. It's kind of sneaky. Don't like that. Don't like that.
Yeah, doesn't show. I was picking Benitez anyways. The dude just kicks so hard, and Pierce is a good prospect. He looked great in his last fight. I like Battaglio if she takes this fight to the ground. If she stands there and she likes to stand there and bang, even though she's got paths to victory outside of that, she likes to get in there and slug it out. Carolina, good Muay Thai fighter in her own right. If it's a standing battle, Carolina could pull off an upset here, but Battaglio just sticks to her bread and butter and gets this fight to the ground. She should win this pretty handily.
Mike, is Pierce the one that Joe Lowe's on just eight? In Boston?
Yes.
Looked like he had never fought before.
Yes. So it happens when you fight Joe Lozon in Boston. He does that to anybody.
Yeah. It was like his UFC debut too, right? Like Joe Lozon just wanted to fight on the card and they're like, you want to fight this guy? He's like, okay.
Did he twist his arms every which way? Like, did he get him in a weird, I mean, is this the fight he got him like
he
in a weird
did. He got him in this
weird started beating on him. And started beating on him.
I'm pretty sure it looked like if I fought Joe Lozon that night. It didn't look good.
Right. It was ugly. Nah, I wish I hadn't thought about that.
Pierce made the drop, and here we are.
Yeah. A few more questions before we wrap this up. We're going to go off the card a bit because it's in the news. But
let's do it. Yes.
Thoughts on Diego Sanchez's release from the UFC the last 24 hours have been depressing since the news broke. Okay. So cheap plug, I don't think anybody has dove into this story more than our own Steven Morocco. He put out this morning a like full-on timeline of like the last several weeks of what led to this release, this departure, and all this stuff. So I highly recommend you go back and look at that because there are some things that have been reported that are accurate, but diving deep into this whole thing, Steven did an incredible job, even got like audio recordings and stuff like that he was able to transcribe and put out there. Like it's a pretty wild scene, but just overall, Jose, Diego Sanchez released from the UFC. I can't say I'm ultimately surprised by this. I mean, I think this is his last fight anyways. So he would have fought and been done anyway. So I don't think it's a bad thing. Apparently he got paid his win show and promotional compliance money. So I think all's well that ends well. I think both guys are probably happy to be where they're at right now. By both guys, I mean the UFC and Diego Sanchez.
Wait, they paid his show and win?
Yeah.
For what?
They're probably like, here's your money. Get out, son.
Yeah, Dana White likes him.
That's Drakkar Close gets his head snapped off on it. Okay. Okay.
That's what reports are saying. I haven't confirmed any of this.
Okay. I got you.
That's what reports are saying.
Whatever makes him happy. If he doesn't want to be in the UFC, then the UFC is like, sayonara, here's all your money. and he wants to go box Oscar De La Hoya or get in bare knuckle boxing or fight in ONE or Bellator, whatever makes Diego Sanchez happy. Like, is his mentor, guru, a weird guy? He's a very weird guy. I've also never interacted with the man personally, so I think it would be a disservice to him to just react based on some bunch of weird, goofy videos that I've seen. Is he weird? 100%. I just don't have a personal opinion on the man. He's never affected my life. He's affected Diego Sanchez's, apparently. But at the end of the day, whatever gets Diego Sanchez paid and whatever makes him happy, I am all for. So that's all I care about.
Well, he's a great coach because he just got his win. He's just got his win bonus for not even going to the octagon. That's very impressive. So take that.
Listen, wait, make so
why,
no mistake.
Why this did the UFC officially release him, though? Is it medical reasons or just because he wanted out?
Well, the UFC's, you know, you asked,
better,
the UFC's
yeah, part it, seems to be MMA fighting dumb and read the article and get it here.
Sorry.
I'm going to pull a Randy Brown.
Need better internet. No one heard any of that.
He was saying, go to MMAfighting.com and read the story. But I will say, for anyone who's, you know, some people may have read it and not quite understood necessarily what happened. And I don't blame them, because actually there is a bit of he said, both sides kind of giving their like a somewhat fair side of the story. But I believe the UFC side would be, if I was speaking, if I was doing the what's that segment called, Mike, that we did that I flubbed on the between the links.
What am I thinking?
If I was doing What Am I Thinking and I was Hunter Campbell, what am I thinking is, we want to get out of the Diego Sanchez business. So what we're bringing up is, we need Diego Sanchez's assurance that he can fight, that he's not suffering ill medical effects. But obviously, and this is Diego's lawyer talking now, how can Diego be the one to diagnose that? Isn't that what your tests and all your medical clearance things are supposed to do? So that never really got resolved. And that lack of resolution was enough for the UFC side to go like, well, if you can't give us a definitive answer, then we enact this clause. Also, anytime a fighter comes off a loss, they can cut someone. So it doesn't really matter. This is just sort of, again, you know, altering the narrative, right? And that, make no mistake, that money, that's not the UFC doing the right thing. That's go away money. That's go away. Mm-hmm. We want everyone to know. Yeah, we want everyone to know that you got paid. They did this to Leslie Smith too. Leslie mm-hmm. Smith will tell you she got her full show money and her whatever she was owed in that last fight, and then was told, now get the hell out of here. don't talk to our fighters. Stop this. Leave us alone. So this is, I'm glad, like we said, I'm glad Diego Sanchez got paid. I hope none of it goes that guy Fabio. I'm sure it will. And but otherwise, to telling him to go away.
Agreed.
I'm so confused. So that video of them in the fighter and the talent media room. Yes. Yeah. So that was obviously from a few months ago, because they were wearing the Reebok gear.
It's seven months ago.
And the who released it? Did they? So Bonner released
Diego
it?
And Diego. No, it is Diego on Diego Sanchez's it. Instagram right now. You can find the whole video. It's about 20 minutes long in total. You can watch the whole thing. It starts off just with Diego in the fighter meeting. And then at the end of it's two parts. And then the end of the first part, then the Fabia part, that which a lot of people have seen circulating on Twitter, that comes up. And there's even, and then the next clip is almost all Fabia and talking to Megan Levy and Paul Felder and John Anik. It is what has happened
the entire time on Fight Island. Because remember, he confronted Matt Serra for Matt Serra on his podcast. I know John Morgan of MMA Junkie talked about Fabia on his podcast, and Fabia confronted him. So it's just what's been happening. Like, if he hears one negative thing about himself, he freaks out and throws a tantrum at someone. So it's been happening to everyone that talks about him. He'll probably talk to one of us if he gets our contact number.
Was he calling AK on the landline? Was that him?
That was Josh Fabia. And I told him to F off so I could do the show. So I may have lost my Fabia interview because of you guys, but I don't regret it. I don't regret it one bit. I don't regret it.
Big mistake.
We got to get that guy out of MMA. Though our old pal, Ira Hawaii, suggested. Go ahead, Jose.
let's not forget Stefan Bonner was the one filming the whole thing too.
Yes,
like the whole video. That was Bonner. So like, of course, Stefan Bonner, the one that is yelling at people wearing masks in a gym and having some pretty horrendous DUIs, is going to be the voice of reason, apparently.
All those sheep.
They also recorded, if you watch the video, there's like a brief conversation with, I think, John Anik in like a hallway after. Yep. And I think they were trying to record him like without him knowing, because they kind of put the phone down. But I mean, obviously, they he's the most diplomatic guy of that group, so he didn't say anything. He's like, if anything, he was probably too deferential. He's like, I respect you guys, but whatever. He was just saying whatever to get those guys the hell out of there and to just leave, to defuse the situation, which is just absurd. But our own Ariel Helwani, our pal, I shouldn't say our old pal Ariel Helwani said, he was responding to me in a tweet. He's like, how about Jake Paul versus Fabio? And I was like, why would you even say it? Why would you even say
it? He did it. He did it. Mike Heck. Mike Heck. It was AK. It was AK. It wasn't me. It was him.
I'm so sorry.
This guy did it.
I'm so, so sorry.
This guy.
I'm sorry. That's all I can say. I have no defense. I have no defense for bringing it up.
We're in an hour and 6 minutes.
Okay. Good job.
I apologize.
All right. Do we have anything else?
One more question.
Where do you begin? Where do you begin? Where do you begin? So many reasons. Our resident troll, Prince Vegeta-san.
We'll have to think about that one.
You want
to
read that out, Mike?
We need to read it for our podcasters.
No, I'm not saying his name. Okay. I'm not doing it.
Well. Okay, a couple more. Quick ones.
That's on Elon Musk saying that they have the technology to create a real Jurassic Park. Dr. Alan Grant, how about this? Getting him out of retirement.
Jose, got any opinions?
Elon Musk can kick rocks. That's all I have to say.
Don't watch him. I shouldn't even say where he's going to show. I don't even want to advertise it. Just
Matt TV.
That's right. Yeah, he will be apparently the hit sketch comedy show.
If someone starts off sentences with, oh, I just saw on Joe Rogan's podcast, or Elon Musk said, then you're not my friend.
Oh, sorry, Doc.
Elon Musk.
That's real. Wait,
Dr. Grant, ask Mr. Musk, did he actually watch or read the book? Because I'm pretty sure that the first half of the book is nice, but the second half, you know, I don't know.
I'm not sure he's ever read any books, if we're being honest. If you ask me, over under, how many books has Elon Musk read? 0.5. I'd go under.
All right. Oh, we didn't talk about this real quick.
This is a good one to end on.
Question for Jose. Has Yuri's antenna grown on you? In my opinion, it looks badass.
Well, respect to John Deegan for spelling my name correctly. I don't have a problem with Yuri's antenna. It was weird when I saw, but like, it's still weird. I don't dislike it. If anything, I love weird stuff. Like, the weird, like, dude, next time come out with 5 antennas and I'd be all about it. Like, whatever sets you apart. Is it weird? 100%. Should it be inside the octagon? 100%. What, the weirder the better in terms of fighting. Whatever gets
who's
us
gonna do it?
Talking about it. We're talking about it.
Who's going to have 5 antennas? That's what I want to see. You will definitely be talked about on this show.
Come back with a DirecTV dish on your head. I like that.
Whatever. Like, we're talking about Jerry Prohaska's hair.
AK Lee has an amateur MMA record?
No, John Daniel, but I was not the one slandering Cub Swanson. So thus, I do not need... I'm Team Cub, all right? I'm currying favor with Cub Swanson my own way, all right? I don't need to be... There's only one of us who was slandering the good name.
Here's the amount of
I was not slandering him.
The amount of like when Cub Swanson tweeted like, "Oh, MMA media needs 3 fights." Like the amount of journalists that I saw responding to that was alarming. Like, stop it.
Jebaited. He got them.
Like, stop it.
I didn't respond, but I didn't
like
see
you.
It
we understand you have Twitter and you want people to see you tweet at a fighter, and we want you to see that. Oh, I'll train with you. Like, stop it. Yeah. We know what you're trying to do. You don't care. You just want people to see you. Like, it was so disappointing the number of our fellow media members that responded to that. Like, move along.
Oh, I would love to go down and train with Cub.
So would I, but I'm not going to be like, whoa, look at me, I'm tweeting at a fighter doing this. Like, come on. I would love to go to the moon. I'm not tweeting at Neil Armstrong every day, like, so people can see me. Because again, no one cared. No one is willing to do it. They just go, look, I'm tweeting at Cub Swanson, or hey, I have an opinion, I'm tweeting at Cub Swanson. Stop it. Oh, Cub Swanson needs to write a 5,000-word article just like me. Like, come on. Like, we get it. You write a lot. Move on.
Casey, where's the...
You can't go with Neil Armstrong unless you have three flights to the moon.
Well, I didn't realize Jose was done. I thought...
that was epic, though.
It was, yeah, it was disappointing to see.
It's like, oh, you can't critique a movie if you haven't directed three short films or something. It's like, no, that's not how critiques work.
Well, it's not even like, if Cub Swanson has that opinion, that's fine. But I'm saying most people I saw responding to it, they're just using that, using Cub's tweet as a platform to push their own stuff. Or like, look at me. Nonsense. Internet clout is nonsense. You don't need to respond to every tweet.
No, I'm putting my kids through college with the internet clout.
Oh. Is that how it works in Canada?
I'll sprinkle a little clout your way when I, you know, I'm over. Hopefully someday I'm overflowing with clout, Jose. I'll gladly share some with you.
Maybe then you can buy a good t-shirt.
Gentlemen.
Jeez.
Why? That's how you know Jose lost. Jeez. That's how you, when it comes down to that, that's how you know Jose lost.
What did I lose? Is this a competition?
You lost this whole philosophical discussion.
All right, Bill Maher.
I know you didn't even know you were competing. That was your first mistake.
Right.
That was your first mistake.
All right. Well, the music's playing. You know what that means? It means we're out of time. Thank you all for watching and/or listening. Happy birthday, AK. Are you a million years old today? How old is AK today?
How old is AK? Okay, well, it's not my birthday, and it's never my birthday. All right. So I'm the same age as I was yesterday and the day before that.
Everyone wish AK a happy 43rd birthday.
Duval! Shout out to Duval and the new quarterback, Trevor Lawrence. All right. Shout out to Duval.
Hey, AK, that gift is a little gift card in there. So if you don't like it, if it's the wrong size, you can return it and everything's good for your birthday. So. It's good.
Oh, by the way.
And the edible arrangement? No.
Yo, can we end this?
Hold on. News? Yeah. Breaking news. Oh, Jonathan Pierce out of the fight against Benitez. He said no.
Whoa.
He said, no, thank you.
Nope.
Really?
Damn.
Yeah. Jonathan Pierce says he said no to overweight Benitez.
Good. Good for you, Jonathan Pierce.
I think the last person to do that was maybe Leslie Smith, and that went great for her.
JSP. JSP, JSP.
Wow. Happy birthday, everybody.
Oh, man.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, AK.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody. Godspeed.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. DraftKings brings you same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and so much more. You can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VOXMMA. That's code VOXMMA for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.